Red on Red.
This week on the podcast, we're joined by Paranoid Beast and Monolith Festival co-promoter Mark Morrissey. Soothsayer with Of Locust and Moths, and Eponym with Berserker, the latter taken from their Live at the Paranoid Pit EP, available on their Bandcamp. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast, dropping every Wednesday evening via Cork's Red FM and redextra.ie. We're also available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify and other podcasting apps. My name is Mike McGrath-Ryan, and this week we're joined in Studio 4 of Red FM out in Bishopstown by Paranoid Beast Man, Monolith Festival co-promoter and general man about town for the metal scene in Cork City, Mark Morrissey. Mark, how's it going, boy?
Good, boy. How are you?
Can't complain at all now. Thanks a million for coming along. It's the latest in a very busy couple of weeks for you as a promoter, as everything else.
Non-stop for the whole year, actually, Mike.
Tell us how you've been feeling, kind of coming off the back of the success of the Monolith All Dayer in Cypress Avenue and coming up to a big gig at the end of this month at Fred Zeppelin's.
Oh, well, it was fantastic. I mean, we were working towards it, myself and Ken, for the last 2 years nearly at this stage, I suppose. And,
yeah.
All the gigs we were doing, we were getting, a few more people in, But for the big one, we were delighted to finally get a good crowd with a great turnout. And they really went for it. It was a fantastic night, Rat and Christ were unbelievable,
The goodwill that you've built coming up to that point has brought you toward, I suppose, stage two of the Paranoid Beast game plan, which we'll get into in a little further detail. But first, let's kind of wind it back to the beginning of the project. I remember happening across Paranoid in the Facebook gig listings while trawling them for the Niler 9 Cork Gig Guide. While not necessarily the most metal-friendly platform, I've always made a point of including metal stuff throughout the gig guide. And just as a fan of sludgy tones and doom metal myself, I was intrigued at the idea. It's just that Friday nights, I believe it was Fridays or Saturday nights we were running it.
Saturday nights in the Paranoid was when they started the Paranoid nights. They weren't the Paranoid Pit then, it was Paranoid Night.
Yeah. I was hard pressed to get to them, but I never had the chance with work. So it was one of those things that kind of kicked myself for missing continuously. But I suppose bring us into your thought process and your idea for taking not just a metal night, which has been done and tried over God knows how many times over the decades in Cork City, but more specifically a doom and sludge night.
Yeah, well, I got into stone or doom and sludge and stuff about probably 12, 13 years ago. At the time, it was kind of small scene around the world, really. There wasn't that many bands at the time. I started a Paranoid, it was called Paranoid Stoner Rock fan group on Facebook, just to, get people to load up stuff from around the world. And it took off, and it's still going. I don't have to do anything with it at all. People just keep posting up gigs or their new albums and all that kind of stuff. So even back then, I was trying to do a Paranoid night in town.
Yeah.
And had went to a few people over the years and just never, never got a chance to do it. It just so happened it came up in the correlation last year that they were looking for something. I was DJing for the Crane Lane, so I put that to them, and they said, give it a go. So,
how'd you find DJing at the Crane, actually, with your own taste in music?
I love it. I'm DJing the Crane about 4 years, I'd say. I DJ in the Crystal Room inside there, so I love being able to mix up every type of music, You go across a broad range of people from 18 to 60, So I'm a big music fan. It's not just about metal. It's all types of music,
Is it interesting to kind of juggle then between the different demographics that you deal with as a music professional?
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. You can go on any kind of journey in the Crane Lane, really. Do you know what I mean? You can go through hip-hop, ska, punk.
They're big on ska in recent years.
Yeah, well, I love the ska, I've been involved in DJing ska for years as well, even from a young fella. God, I went to see Madness when I was 12 years of age, I like all kinds of music. If it's good, it's good,
After the first installment, then it becomes clear that there's very definitely room for a sludge, stoner and doom night in Cork City. Maybe talk to us a little bit about how those earliest events continued and evolved.
Well, the first night that we had down there, we had 10-ton slug playing, and Partalan, I think, were the support from. And, because it was the first night, we didn't really get a great crowd, and you know how good a band 10-ton slug are, so I was kind of going, oh my God, I can't believe people aren't coming out to see 10-ton slug, because they really are. They're probably one of the top metal bands in the country at the moment, And So it was a slow build, like, so we, you know, we had good nights and bad nights in there, but the poor relation really wasn't the venue for what we wanted to do, like, you know.
A great venue and a great space in of itself.
Great space and all that, but for, I don't know what it is. People don't tend to want to go down there. It's not that far, like, it's in the centre of town, it's not that far out, but...
Is it that theory of people not wanting to leave the main drag?
I think so, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's come up a lot over the years with venues that are kind of in and out. And, like, the Poor is doing, like, great things for other genres. I mean, like, Cutting Heads were there for ages and ages, and they were able to fill things up. After a couple of the Paranoid nights and just having a lot of success with the online element of it, you get talking with Con Doyle, who was then, up to then, in charge of the Subtle Beast promotion house.
That's right.
And label. And he'd already kind of put out a lot of feelers regarding putting stuff out on CD, in the local, including a couple of standees in local independent shops, as well as having run gigs consistently for himself and for other artists. Maybe talk to us a little bit about how your initial conversations came together on joining forces and kind of how things were to work out.
We both kind of spotted we were doing very similar things. We were even booking similar bands. Like, that's the thing about myself and Con, we have a lot of similar, you know, ideas, and so he got on to me, actually, and we said we'd meet up, and we met up there one day, and we just sat down for a good few hours, like, and we had a great conversation. I didn't know Con before that, he didn't know me before that either, but, you know, we kind of clicked straight away, and we both wanted to do the same thing.
That's mad.
So, yeah, and we just said, look, will we come together? And then we had a little conversation about, if we come together, what are we going to call it?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, doing the Paranoid Night, he's Subtle Beast, Paranoid Beast, and, you know, it's a good name. And
a good old portmanteau name.
Yeah. So, that was the start of it, anyway. And from then, like, we continued kind of doing, like, we like to do our own things as well at the same time, do you know what I mean? Like,
you can see that within the organisation.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, like, I do my thing, Con does his thing, and then we come together whenever we're needed, do you know what I mean? So, it works very well, and it builds the name every single time. So, you know, it's good for us. Like, we've done pretty well over the last year building the name around the country, and people know who we are now, you know?
And that's the truth of it. I mean, having that flexibility, having that ability to kind of go in different directions because there's different people involved.
Yes.
Allows you to do the best you can by Irish bands, by putting on showcases.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
Again, we'll get into the Paranoid Pit a little bit later on, but also allowing for Con to pursue the bigger gigs that he's been that he's been spearheading, like the Bellwitch gig at Cypress Avenue.
Yeah.
Maybe talk to us a little bit about how that dichotomy kind of creates, you know, an interesting identity for Paranoid Beast, something that can be, you know, one head or the other.
Well, I mean, I think my main thing really all along was to build the Irish scene. I have a big interest in that, because I think the Irish scene we have at the moment is the strongest I've ever seen in my whole time, and I'm into music a long time. And, like, there's about 60 metal bands in the country at the moment.
That's a conservative estimate.
And that's a conservative estimate. And every one of them is doing their own original music. And very different from each other as well. You know, you couldn't put them all into one genre or whatever. And so, like, yeah, Con as well is interested in that, but he also wants to, you know, get the bigger names to come over. And, of course, it's the same in all forms of music. You get bigger names over, they invite you over to their place. That's the kind of idea about it, like, you know.
There's no denying the rub, though, for Irish bands that get to support these bigger acts.
Absolutely, and these bigger acts get to see these Irish bands and go, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, you're after hearing a lot of feedback from those bands going, God almighty, they were fantastic support acts, or do you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, the Irish bands wouldn't get that chance normally. So, yeah, it is very good to have both heads, like, you know. The Irish scene itself, I think it's just getting better and better, but I'd like people to actually come out and support the Irish scene. I hate this thing, just because a band is from England or somewhere else, that they're more important than the Irish bands, because they're not, like, in reality.
But come out and support your own, you know?
Why is it?
I can't answer you. Like, I've been in your shoes. Ran metal gigs for years, but just in terms of the other great struggle of operating at that level, and that is, you know, you come into it like any creative does, and you see what's there, and you equate it with what you want to see or what you want there to be. And you can see the steps in your mind. Well, if X venue let us to run X gigs and bring in X band over, it would bring the Casuals out of the woodwork, and then we bring in X band from Ireland, and then when they headline in the smaller show, they'll fill the rafters. And for one reason or another, whether that's, you know, economic recession, whether that's, you know, cultural changes, the post-genre fan base, you know, it's maybe a harder stint than is envisioned. In my own case, it was timing. We ran these right in the dead of recession, and you know, there's no denying the inevitable in that respect. But you seem to be now at a point where Irish metal is growing exponentially. Cork, you know, has always had like a bottom line of venues that have always been supportive, etc. Kind of talk to us a little bit about that conversation that yourself and Con had regarding your vision, I suppose, for what Cork metal can be and what role Paranoid Beast has to play.
Well, I mean, like that was the whole point of it in the first place, was to create a space for metal in Ireland and Cork metal as well in particular. Like, so like if you don't put on the gigs, they'd have no place to play, you know what I mean? So, I mean, we were lucky in the sense that Fred Zeppelin's decided to take on the Paranoid Pit gigs. Because they're very supportive of us, do you know what I mean? And we're delighted that he supported of it as well. I think going forward, really, we do want to put on a few more of the bigger ones in Cypress Avenue and stuff like that.
Especially now that it's been expanded.
Exactly. It's a beautiful venue, and the sound and everything and the lighting and the whole lot. It's a really professional setup. And they do have a smaller venue in there now as well in 80.
Winthrop Avenue downstairs.
Winthrop Avenue, facing. Yeah. But so we could be looking at doing maybe a few things in there in the future as well, and probably using the whole thing maybe in a festival next year or something. You know?
Well, now Monolith 2020, I hear, is underway. So
absolutely, and it's going. Hopefully, it'll grow next year. You know, we could do it another couple of hundred in there, another 200 or 300 anyway.
Open up another couple of rooms and see what happens. We'll talk about the festivals a little bit later on as well. But just before we go to some more tunes, maybe talk to us a little bit about the kind of broad conceptual stroke. Like, you sit down, and again, you do have a vision. You do want to kind of bring more things in. Ultimately, what do you want to see happen for Cork metal regarding just even entering the city's cultural mainstream?
Absolutely. I want to see a consistent crowd coming out to watch the Irish bands, like, and supporting it. Do you know, you'd see it in other areas, like in, you know, probably more popular areas. Even you'd see with the Marquee and stuff like that. Like, look how many Irish bands they put on down here, and they fill the bloody things, like, do you know what I mean? Like, we have a huge metal following in Ireland. It's just actually getting the guys out. Because if you see any of the big festivals, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands will turn up. Like, do you know? We just want to get them out into the locality. And to, because I still feel a lot of these guys don't even know that this thing is going on. Do you know what I mean?
How much of that, though, is down to, I suppose, lads taking metal as an escapist form of entertainment the same way that they would like a video game or, you know, a film? It's something to which the heaviness and the energy appeals to them, but they don't equate it for one reason or another with something that's at their backyard that they can make a real life impact on.
I don't know about that. I mean, for me, like, I was always into going to live gigs, you know, and I think there's nothing better than a live metal gig for power and for a release and for, you know.
But this is the question that I have and the conversation that I've had with a couple of people. You know, 10, 12 years ago, when different people were trying to run different shows, it was in the middle of cultural change for the city, where the recession led to a lot of pre-drinking, so people were missing gig time between 9 and 12 because there were still at house parties. And, you know, you're looking at, this is when supermarkets start selling below cost cans. But you also have Netflix becomes a thing in the middle of the recession. Xbox Live and PlayStation Network become big things for the nerd, the nerd community in particular. And there's a big Venn diagram between all of these different interests and what have you. And all of a sudden, you know, you go from a position where Cork metal is no longer just in the contention for the music book. It's in contention for the general entertainment book because people are spending less. So I think that might be a cultural hangover of the recession. Not only the recession, but of changes in consumption and how media is taken. Like, metal is absolutely not escapist entertainment. It's a very real
thing. Oh, very real.
But just by the fact that because so much of the imagery is so strong, and so much certain bands that you would get into as a kid have the theatricality of it down, that it's only ever just, it stops in their minds at just being theatricality, and maybe the odd big gig out if somebody comes to the Marquee or Metallica go to Marley Park.
I suppose you could be right there. Like, maybe a lot of that was going on.
Casuals.
Like, we're just kind of looking at, like, getting, like, trying to get people to see that the Irish scene is as good as anywhere else in the world.
And it is.
And it is. And it really is, like, you know. And you can see with from all the recordings that are coming out there, like, every band have an album coming out. There's loads of albums coming out in the next year or so, like, you know. And, like, if they could just come out and experience, you know, the true live metal experience in your local. Do you know what I mean?
And it's right in your backyard. It always has been.
Do you know, it's only, like, what we're doing with the Paranoia Pit, it's only once a month.
Yeah.
Do you know, try and make the effort to come out once a month. And that goes out as well to all the, you know, the musicians on the scene from the other bands and stuff. I'd like to see more of them coming out and making the effort to support the other bands that are in the scene. Do you know what I mean?
You see it a lot in, like, Psychedelia and that whole OOV in Cork, where everybody comes out to support each
other's
shows.
But if you look at this, like, look at any scene worldwide that's ever been, from the Beatles and the Stones back in the day to grunge and everything.
Yeah.
All these bands were at all the concerts. Of course they were. They were there to support it. They were there to learn themselves and see, all right, I want to be better than him. Now the next time, what am I going to do? This is the kind of thing that's gone on. And we need that back in Cork, like, you know. I think what's good about the scene at the moment, though, is it goes across all ages. Do you know what I mean?
It does now.
It goes from, like, you know, the young lads like God Alone, all the way up to the older lads like Zealot Cult and stuff like that, like, you know what I mean? And the fan base as well that we have is starting to go that way as well. So you've seen younger people with the old. I don't think you've seen that before.
I've seen that in Fred's the most recent times that I've been there. And
that's
been the one thing compared to maybe 5 years ago when I was running stuff there.
Is that you
have kids coming back in for the first time in a while.
But hopefully, you know, like, going into the winter and stuff, you know, you'll have students coming to the city and maybe, you know, they might be into metal and we might be able to drag a few of them in once a month, you know
what
I mean?
It's getting into the colleges, that's another discussion another war to be fought. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of those gigs, the Paranoid Pit series that you're running monthly at Fred's. But first, we're going to go to some more tunes. You picked a playlist for us this week that includes recordings from the Paranoid Pit, various line recordings made by Tomás O'Brien of Carosa, who's been working with the sound engineers to
capture star
all the gigs. I'm telling you, and a former interview subject of ours, actually. You can go back and listen to our interviews with
Tomás has been brilliant, in fairness, you know. I mean, like, that's the another thing that we've done, you know, this year after moving into Fred's. We got a good team around, all doing their separate things, you know. And it's all just to, you know, to build up the scene, like, and you know, there's no money involved, there's no nothing, it's all just for the love of music, like.
This is it, but that's the only thing that matters ultimately at
absolutely,
the end.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
You can hear our interview with Tomás on our previous episodes of Red on Red, available now at redextra.ie and redfm.ie. Coming up, we have Gaelic, a relatively new black metal project coming out of town with Nail to the Cross, a demo of theirs.
Yeah, that's Jack and Dave and George. The three other bands, like, you've Eponym, Carosa and Everdeadwood, and so this is their black metal offshoot. But we don't have many black metal bands in Cork. In fact, they might be the only black metal band in Cork.
It's been a while, I think. I mean, like, God Alone were very much black metal at the outset, but that's turned into something else now. Forruin, I think, would have been like a black metal band of
And you know what? I know the lads are big black metal fans, and like me myself, I'm only kind of starting to listen to it recently, and it's quite interesting. All right, it's different, like, and so it's going to be interesting to see what they're up to. I think they have a gig coming up in the next week or two with Sacrilegia inside and Fred's, so that, I think that's their debut gig. We have them all right in November. But that's from their new demo they just put out there a few weeks ago.
Check out Fred Zeppelin's on social media for more info on their upcoming gig. And we are going to go to the Paranoid Pit. We already heard from Eponym, a recording from their gig a couple of months ago. But coming up, we have Zora with Ruthless Bastards.
Yeah, Ruthless Bastards live at the Paranoid Pit. Another fantastic track that Tomás recorded. They played the night. Carosa played with them, actually, in support, and it was a great gig. Absolutely brilliant gig. Zora Manilet were absolutely out of this world. I couldn't say enough about them. They were one of the bands of the day, and they were the last band on that night.
Yeah.
So they had to hang around all day. They were absolutely fantastic, and you know they're highly professional act.
Yeah.
And I can see them going places as well in the next year or two. Like
they've been places, weren't they? Playing Wacken at one point.
Yeah, they've played a load of festivals, and they're doing a lot of touring in England next year and Scotland as well. They're doing a kind of an exchange thing with a few Scottish bands. Iron Altar and stuff like that, and so that's something as well we're going to look into, maybe trying to get onto the Scottish bands start swapping with their scene, because
yeah.
we both basically have the same thing going on.
Yeah.
There's a few of these scenes going on in England as well, like you had the Doom documentary there that came out last year from that Sheffield what were they called, Holy Spider Promotions. It's very similar to what we're doing, so it's just trying to get in touch with these, and maybe we'll start doing like an exchange student type of situation.
That's what you want,
kind of
opening up those connections. We'll head straight into it. This is Gaelic with Nail to the Cross here on Red on Red.
Yeah. out the truth I get. The easier it all seems to be. Ignorant men and women.
Recorded live at the Paranoid Pit at Fred Zeppelin's. Live metal happening every month at Fred Zeppelin's. Be sure to check out the Paranoid Beast and Fred Zeppelin's on social media for more information on upcoming gigs. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast. Still chatting with Paranoid Beast man Mark Morrissey about metal in Cork and all of that promotion house's doings. before the jump, we were talking a little bit about the Paranoid Pit and how that coming together was your kind of bread and butter in terms of building the scene and building a bottom line for the scene. But talk to us a little bit about how the idea specifically came together, that a monthly shoulder program that would feature Irish bands and that would be the thing that you would build and rotate your annual showcases and bigger gigs around.
Yeah. Well, with the Paranoid Pit, Paranoid had kind of finished up in the Poor Relation. We did about 6 or 7 months of it. And I don't know what's going on with the bar and the Poor Relation. This year, I think there's a hotel being built next to it. So they basically didn't want to continue with the metal for the time being. So we ended up getting Fred Zeppelin's, which is the only metal bar in Cork City for the last 20 years, really. So it was a perfect fit for us. And when we were doing the Paranoid stuff, I had the idea to film it and record it, but I found out that it was pretty difficult to do that, you know, with a Nikon camera or, you know, this, and getting the sound out of it, it just wasn't right. So I actually, over the Christmas, when we were actually taking a break, I went in to see God Alone. God Alone were playing inside in Dally with Baylor. And I met Tomás O'Brien inside there, and we were having a chat. And I was telling him about the idea of recording the gigs. And so he said, look, you know, I'd be interested in doing something there.
Moss is a star, in fairness.
Yeah, in fairness, you know, straight away he was in there. And so we had a meeting. We all met up in the Crane Lane one day. All the different aspects. The guy that was going to film the soft pile. We'll talk to more about him at another stage. And Tomás. And yeah, we just started getting the equipment together, basically. When we went into Fred Zeppelin's, everything fit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Even I wanted to do the projections on the wall because I liked the old visual aspect of the things as well. And even the projector distance from the wall was perfect. It was made for us, really, do you know? And like the sound is absolutely fantastic in there as well. So I just went about booking. I had it booked for the whole year. I actually have it booked for the next 2 years now because Tom wanted me to continue it.
It's a long-term
residency there, basically. And, you know, he's very very supportive of what we're doing, you know.
Yeah.
That's all we could ask for, really, you know. So I've all the nights booked out for the next year, and I'll start then again at Christmas to book next year, you know. The idea, really, is to focus on, you know, probably a band from Dublin, Belfast, or somewhere outside Cork as the main act, and then a few support acts down in Cork. Yeah. And then, you know, other teams have headliner Cork bands as well, you know.
But how do you kind of take the decision to block book a certain night over the course of 12 months, etc., and kind of what's your arc in terms of booking?
I didn't, really. Like, all I knew that I wanted was a Saturday night, and I just said to them, I said, look, what about the last Saturday of every month? So that's kind of, you know, we change it a few times when there's other things booked for that time, or if there was a festival on or something like that. So, yeah, it's usually the last Saturday of the month, you know. It's just the way it panned out, like, you know.
Fred's, as you mentioned, is a very important venue to metal in Cork City. It is, in most cases, the lifeblood of different promoters and different operations happening in town. Maybe talk to us a little bit, I suppose, for those that aren't familiar with the venue, with its importance to the infrastructure of Cork metal, and I suppose from the aspect also of directing multimedia content inside in there. Audiovisual properties of the room.
Yeah. Well, like, it, as I said already, it is the metal bar of Cork City. It has been for many years, and he's always been supportive of live music in there, like, whether it's punk scenes or even ska or metal or whatever. Like, he's obviously a metaller, like he has been for a long time, like, you know. And like, for me, it's the absolute perfect venue for what I'm doing or for what I want, because, like, it's right in your face, do you know what I mean? The people are right there. Like, even for the bands, I'd say it must be a pretty decent stage to play, because, you know, you're in it. Do you know, it surrounds you. Like, the sound in there is, like, Pavel is doing an absolutely fantastic job of the sound. For us, the visual aspect of it as well, it all fit, do you know? We do you know, the psychedelic visuals on the back walls and stuff. We turn down the lights, and I do photography as well in there, and I'm kind of learning as I'm going there as well. Another avenue that I want to go down, you know. And Fred's has been perfect for absolutely. It was kind of difficult, all right, to light it up a bit for the photography and stuff, because you know, it's very dark, like it's yeah. very dark. But then other you need it to be dark as well. So there's a kind of fine balance that we're trying to find, you know.
Yeah. Actually, as an aside, this is a conversation I have with a couple of different people regarding, I suppose, just picking up a new skill at a certain time in their lives. A couple of people I'm talking about are trying to pick up different new things, and the idea of something new past a certain point can be a little bit daunting. Kind of, how have you found attempting to adjust to kind of band photography and all of this coming from zero, I suppose?
Well, I bought that camera originally to film the Paranoid gigs. That's why I bought the camera. And I filmed the first couple of them, actually. 10-ton slug was one part, lan. And I decided, geez, I'm not using this for recording anymore. Why don't I just start doing, you know, taking pictures of the bands?
And yeah.
Since I started doing it, I'm getting a bit of a passion for it. Do you know what I mean? I actually love it, and I like looking at different angles. I like to, do you know, I like going home and being able to see, oh God, what can I do with this now, do you know?
It's
not that hard, to be honest. Do you know what I mean?
But it is another form of storytelling. Like, the technical aspect isn't that hard, it's the eye.
Like, I'm an artistic person anyway, do you know what I mean? I've always been into painting, and, you know, and any artistic kind of, the music, DJing, do you know?
Yeah.
Photography is just the next step, but this is something that I'm kind of taking to really, I think I might try and push it forward a bit, do you know what I mean? Try and do maybe other festivals, try and get in there and see how we get on, do you know?
That's the best part about something like this, that it allows people to explore and give people a way into different aspects of
it. It's also great for us, because I can do it all online, and I can actually, you know, post up the pictures. People can see the pictures and go, God, that looks great, you know what I mean?
It does.
And, you know, it looks fairly professional as well. So, yeah, I think the online thing, you know, is a big thing. You have to show people what this looks like, you know?
Well, that actually leads on to my next question beautifully. Naturally, recording all the gigs in audio and video format for distribution, having the Paranoid Facebook group and bringing people along with you, you know, it's another layer of what the Paranoid Beast is in for. But I suppose for those listening that aren't really familiar with the promotion of a show, or I suppose the building of something like the Paranoid Beast, maybe talk to us a little bit about the importance of a multimedia presence for a genre like metal in Cork City, and just really the art of bringing people with you.
Yeah, it's in this day and age, you have to be on social media. Like, there's, you know, there's no other way of doing it.
There's being on social media, and then there's presenting content to social media people specifically.
I've kind of been used to that, because I've had, you know, over the years since Facebook started, I've had different pages. You know, like as I said, I did the Paranoid Stoner Rock fan group way back, and you know that's still going, even though it's other people loading up content, but originally it was me loading up the content. Like the original Desert Fest website and Facebook page, I was loading up content on that as well. That was before they even had the concerts sorted, so I was kind of involved at the start of that as well. So I was kind of getting used to that kind of stuff. Anyway, I kind of left it slide for a few years, the Paranoid Stoner Rock group just kind of did its own thing, and a few lads from America took it on, which was great, and still going anyway. But it's when I came back to this thing, I already had experience in pages, you know, and stuff like that. It is quite difficult to get followers. That's the thing for the pages, you know, like
groups are where it's all gone. Pages, etc., they're strangling your reach, they're strangling how you can get to you.
You see, we have the couple of pages. We have the Paranoid Beast Promotions page, which is just the promotions page, and the Paranoid Beast then is the kind of social and the community page, I call it, like, you know what I mean? And that's where the whole thing with that really is to be loading up Irish content all the time from the bands putting it out, just what's happening, new albums, new tours, you know, and then other stuff that's going on around the world of interest as well, and all sorts of things, really. It's kind of cool. Like.
And in terms of videos then, I know that you're getting ready to release some videos that have been kind of in the vaults for a while.
That's the idea anyway.
Presenting those forward. Talk to us a little bit, I suppose, about the process that you had in putting those together, you know, syncing up audio, presenting Fred's in a certain fashion, and how you intend to kind of go about getting the video through.
Well, the idea behind it really was to show people what's actually going on by putting it online. You said it there earlier, you know, there might be people sitting at home there and, you know, playing a video game or something, and then they can just click on their computer and they'll see, God, this is happening down the road. Or,
yeah.
We wanted to create a media presence for the Irish scene, you know, that people from abroad can look in and go, God, what's happening over in Ireland there? You know, Live at the Paranoid Pit is going to be kind of a YouTube channel that we're, you know, a lot like kind of, let's say, the St. Vitus Bar do in America, you know, where they just constantly put up the bands that they put on there. But we're doing it in an Irish context, you know what I mean? Not foreign bands or whatever.
And that's a handy excuse to mention that on the Red on Red podcast, we'll be periodically going forward featuring full sets and live audio from Cork metal bands that will be performing at different gigs.
Fantastic. We'd be delighted with that anyway, you know.
We'd be delighted to have you, because I mean, like, I know that as Red on Red podcast goes, we're very open to what's happening on a DIY basis in Cork, whether it is what's happening with math rock, what's happening with hip hop, what's happening with psychedelia and folk. And metal in particular is something that I've been conscious of presenting on an equal footing with everything else here, because it deserves to be. It's not always taken seriously.
No. And like, I mean, like a lot of the bands in the metal scene, the musicianship is just unbelievable. It's after going through the roof there in the last, you know, 5-6 years. It deserves to be seen, it deserves to be heard, and that's why we're kind of doing both. We're going to throw out the video and we're going to throw out the recordings, and like, who knows, we might kind of end up, you know, putting out maybe a few CDs of the recordings if they're good enough and all that kind of stuff, you know.
You can always put together compilations, a lot of kind of...
Well, that's in the pipeline, alright, yeah. Possibly a vinyl compilation.
Oof.
I know. But it's...
Those are ambitions.
We have backers, let's say.
Class.
Yeah, so...
That's what you want. So we're very happy and proud to have live gigs coming out through the Red on Red podcast, and, you know, not just allowing a listen to what's happening in Cork City and to what bands are at, but allowing a long-form listen and allowing for people... Because, like, people have jobs now that will take them into offices or in different ways, and audio is a big part of their day from one end of a shift to another. And allowing, like... That was the idea with the Red on Red podcast in the first place, to sit down and have these interviews with yourself and to allow for kind of curated playlists to give people different insights into...
I love podcasts. I listen to podcasts all the time. It's great, you know what I mean?
So we're really happy to kind of take it in that direction, where we'll get recording some different gigs around the city in kind of a tiny desk kind of situation, the NPR tiny desk gigs.
Yes.
So looking forward to kind of having that aspect of it.
Yeah, kind of raw, but kind of, you know.
But that's it, man. Yeah, that's what we're about specifically on the Red and Red podcast. And speaking of raw, we're going to go back to some more tunes.
Oh, great stuff.
We have a bit of a world premiere actually coming from Carosa's new album, Chalice Burner, which will be available via Paranoid Beast Records August 31st. Launch gig happening at Fred Zeppelin's Carosa, supporting Belfast Doomers' Elder Druid. This is Carosa with Iron from the Sky. Moss, talk to us a little bit about your feelings on the record and, you know, kind of working with Carosa a little bit.
I absolutely love the record. I've listened to it. I'm not ashamed to say I've listened to it at least 20 times so far. Like, and we just picked up the CD yesterday, and I was finally able to just stick it onto my sound system at home, and it just didn't disappoint at all. It's an absolute monster of a record.
Class.
And I'm delighted for them, because, you know, they took their time with it. You know, people were kind of pushing them probably here and there, when are you bringing something out, and they took their time and they did it right, and I hope it goes really well for them, you know. Like, Carosa were actually one of the first bands that I came across when I was looking to do the Paranoid Nights. I think they were in the second Paranoid Night, they were too, they were on the second one, and we've put them on so many times since. I'm a big fan of theirs. That's the style of music that I really like, the stoner doom side, and I just think they did a cracking record. They kind of show their influences through the album, which is great, but they do it in their own unique style, and I'm really looking forward to the 31st. They're going to do Chalice Burner in its entirety, and we're going to record that as well, so...
Sound.
We're going to get a chance to do that as well, so, So, you know, come along on August 31st for the launch night. We have guest headliners on the night, Elder Druid, another fantastic stoner doom band. And The Last Vinci is going to be playing support, and we haven't had him in since last year.
Italo Cork rock duo.
Yeah, look, the guy is a riff monster. Like, he's really, really good. So I'm actually looking forward to hearing what he's going to bring that night as well, because I'm sure it'll be something special, you know.
Speaking of something special and unique sounds, you have Parthalon with a track that has been nominally titled Wild and Simple by recording engineers.
Yes. That was from their gig they played there recently with us as well, live at the Paranoid Pit, and it hasn't been recorded yet, so this is
another
exclusive.
World premiere, actually.
Yeah, I think we've a lot of them here, actually. We've a lot of them on the list.
We'll get straight into it. So this is Corroza with Iron from the Sky, taken from new album Chalice Burner, here on Red on Red.
Yeah.
Parthalon with Wild and Simple, recorded live at the Paranoid Pit at Fred Zeppelin's here on the Red on Red podcast, still joined in studio by the Paranoid Pit's Mark Morrissey. And before the jump, we were talking a little bit about Paranoid Pit and its importance as a monthly gig for you to promote and to outline the best of metal happening in Cork City and further beyond, but also as a means for you to generate content and a media presence for the genre in Cork City Centre. Another aspect then of your operation has been, as we've been talking about, the Paranoid Beast record label. You were talking a little bit about how one has kind of fed into the other already with the release of the Corrosa album. But I suppose in terms of what a record label means in 2019, in terms of the business model, in terms of everything else, maybe talk to us a little bit about setting up a label, what the idea is going forward, digital distribution as well as physical distribution, your feeling on streaming, maintaining those relationships with independent shops as Subtle Beast had built up beforehand. Just a little bit about that.
Well, I think, look, I suppose you could call us more kind of distributors than actually a record label, because that's the kind of what we'd like to do is to put out CDs of our favourite Irish bands. Do you know what I mean? We'd like them to come. We'd like them to want to be put out by Paranoid Beast Records, you know.
But in terms of, like, a label applies to the people that are handling the manufacturer, the press and all of that as well, and you've taken a bit of that now for Corrosa.
Absolutely, and we kind of do the, you know, the pushing of it, the plugging of it as well. That'll be a lot of it as well, of what we're going to do online. I'm trying to get people to do reviews and possibly, you know, going on mini tours as well, which is probably in the pipeline as well in the future, you know. Originally my idea was to do a vinyl, do vinyl releases. But when we're looking at the costs of it, really, it's quite pricey to put out vinyl. But again, like, putting out a band like Corrosa on vinyl then is obviously a double album because it's such a long record. You'd need two records to do it, so it's a big cost, so we'll just see how it goes. Although I would love to see that album out in vinyl. I think it deserves to be out in vinyl.
A lot of Irish metal deserves to be on wax.
It does, you know. And do you know what's annoying really for me is that, you know, like, Irish bands are always looking to England, like, if there's a label in England, why can't we just do our own thing here? Like,
there has historically been a label following, alright, there has been the presence of, like, things like Sentinel, things like Invictus, etc. But there hasn't necessarily been a place that would go to bat for Irish musicians to press them directly onto vinyl for, you know, cost reasons or whatever.
Cost reasons. But that's something that I think should be looked into as a, like, you cover the cost among the whole laddie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not just all on the label. It's also on the bands. If you want vinyl out, that you come together and you put money together and we'll all put the vinyl out and we'll all make it back from that. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like a percentage thing, you know. It just makes it easier. It just makes it easier for everyone in the long run, and no one's going to take a big hit from it, do you know?
In terms then of, like, promoting a metal label, because, you know, naturally bands will look at England for labels, but when you're talking about metal labels, all I can think of are the pages and pages and pages in metal magazines of German labels and French labels and Swiss labels, buying them, and they have two or three new releases every month. What are the options that are available to a startup to regularly promote stuff outside of direct promotion with social media?
Yeah.
In terms of, say, it's not like there's a Molten magazine in Belfast anymore, or if there ever was a metal magazine running out of Dublin, to get a half page out of, or
I suppose things like this, really, you know what I mean? A lot of, like there is a lot of podcasts and stuff and metal podcasts. And you know, there's the Metal Cell is one, and you
shout
have the Cranium Titanium as well up in Dublin, or in Galway, sorry.
Well, that's not strictly a podcast. That's been rolling on radio in Galway for a couple of years now.
Oh, is that not a podcast?
It's a podcast, but it's also out in student radio.
Yeah. Well, yeah, brilliant. Like, all these kind of guys are very helpful to us, like, you know, and I think with us, for Corrosa to be the first release, we're hoping that other bands will kind of go, hey, lads, we'd like to do something like that, do you know what I mean? And eventually, like, my model that I'm looking at really is, I don't know if you know it, Man's Rune Records in America. They were the first ones to put out bands like High on Fire and they've got bands from all over the world, like Orange Goblin, all at that time. The Stone were kind of out there, underground stuff, you know. And like, Frank Kozic was the guy that ran that label, and he was an artist, and he used to do all the album cover arts for them. That was the original plan, to bring out 10-inch vinyls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And but funnily enough, you can't get people to print out, you know, different art than the normal LPs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's quite strange. You think someone would be able to print out a cover and fold it in half, and there you go, happy days. Do you know what I mean? But you can't in Ireland. Well, I'm not after finding anyone yet anyway to do it.
Yeah.
So that was the original idea, but I'm using his kind of things, you know, to take bands that you want people to hear, you want to put out physical releases of. Hopefully people will come to us eventually and go, look, we'd love to be on the label, you know.
Any grow for tape?
Not me personally, no. There is a big thing at the moment. There is a big thing at the moment. So yeah, maybe bring out a few tapes as well, because, you know, it's not a huge cost to do tapes, like. And there seems to be, they're becoming collectible again.
They are.
And I'm going mad because I threw out all my tape collection there many years ago.
Never throw out anything.
And I had a lot of them. So, yeah. No, I was tapes, when I think back at tapes, like the first Walkmans we used to have and stuff, you know, they went everywhere with us. Like, yeah. You know? But tapes, no, not for me, no.
How do you feel then about streaming services? Because the grand debate kind of rages about income from streaming services, and in particular labels that would have however many hundred albums or singles or EPs on their books aren't necessarily seeing back, even from catalogue sales, what they're seeing back now from Spotify. What are your thoughts, I suppose, or how are you going to approach digital in a manner that kind of takes the burden off in terms of the initial investment? Is it possible to do so outside of Bandcamp and the likes? How do you feel about Spotify and Apple Music?
Yeah, I suppose we'll probably have a look at all that coming up. We kind of haven't looked that far. Yeah, we have a Bandcamp page, all right, because we put out the two metal compilations at the start of the year, the Birth of the Beast and Evil Eye of Doom. So,
great compilations of Irish metal available for free, kind of the most concise means of getting to grips with the current state of metal in Ireland, just for anybody that's unfamiliar.
And we're planning on doing physical releases of them shortly as well, like, so.
Ooh, lads.
So that'll be cool as well. And again, we're going to be looking at going forward, probably doing, you know, volume 3, volume 4, as many as we can do, and hopefully bands will be as friendly as they were the last time in giving us tracks to use, you know. I got in touch with all of them, and none of them had a problem with giving us a track for the release, you know. I suppose it's good advertising for them and us, do you know what I mean?
So what I miss from the specialty labels during the CD era in particular was just coming up from the countryside and going digging for stuff. You would find the sampler CD from the label, and it would have like 40 or 50 songs for cost. So Relapse would do their annual sampler, and it'd be a tenner. Or I was hugely into punk around the George W. Bush times, just getting into it. And Rock Against Bush was like a tenner or 15. The Punk-O-Rama stuff would be €8 or so forth.
Some of them are classics too, aren't they? Those compilations, like, you know, you'd still go back to them and you'd be listening to them.
I bet the shit out of Punk-O-Rama Volume 4 when I was younger.
Punk-O-Rama, I still think I have a few Punk-O-Ramas, actually.
The Relapse... there was a different name for it each year, but it was essentially your December 2-discer with 50 or so tracks. And then if you were lucky, you know, there'd be the odd CD enhanced video that would be on them as well.
Yes.
I suppose maybe talk to us a little bit about, you know, would there be a grow for kind of bringing back that annual sampler to kind of try and bring
in casuals? I'd love to do it.
Or has that been kind of supplanted by Spotify playlisting in a way?
You see, the whole Spotify thing, like, I don't know, like I've kids, like, and like, they don't know what it is to listen to an album. Do you know what I mean? I prefer to listen to something from start to finish the way it's supposed to be made. Do you know what I mean?
There's a lot of talk about the kind of the front to back experience, but also, like, even 10, 15 years ago, friends of mine that weren't as into music as I would,
I can't understand that at all. Like,
just the individual
mixtapes, I get mixtapes, all right.
Like. But as in, like, there was always a certain amount of pop consumption of singles as a standalone art form in and of themselves, whereas they'd be viewed by labels as lost leaders ahead of albums. In time, they eventually became the thing. I suppose really that's just a matter of supplanting attention spans.
I don't think it's a metal thing, though. Do you know what I mean? I don't think metal fans, like, would go out and did, like, a new album, let's say that Slipknot album, new album out, that someone is just going to go along and listen to the hit song on Spotify. Do you know, would you? Like, I'd say
I wouldn't listen to this, not neither way.
Well, yeah. Look, I'm not a big fan of theirs either, but yeah. I'm just taking a, you know, using an example. Like, would a metal fan not listen to the album from start to finish? I reckon they would. Like, do you know what I mean?
I mean, Slipknot in particular, being big when they were, as they were, and as are continuing to be, you know, kind of going past their original, not prime, but their original membership and their original remit, which was originally to create accessible but vaguely uncomfortable thrash crossover metal, to what they're doing now, where they're just kind of the Lynyrd Skynyrd of extreme metal, really.
Well, that's might be a good way of putting it, all right.
Well, it's a gatekeeper thing, really, more so than anything else. But,
I don't know. I think I listen to Spotify every now and then. Do you know what I mean? And when I want to check something out, but I would always go out and buy the physical vinyl. If I really want it, it'll be vinyl. Yeah. And I'll pick up CDs then at concerts and stuff like that.
Like, without exception, I will do that for stuff that I like, regardless of what genre it is.
Yeah.
Wax first.
Yeah,
then, digital, rather, because I find that they get, that artists have more, they take 100% from just uploading their digital files, as opposed to, like, offsetting the cost of producing CDs, which, at a small batch, is still a nasty little chunk out of the back wallet.
I mean, Bandcamp is brilliant, like, you know, brilliant for all bands, like, you know, they can set up their own thing.
And that's a really good revenue split as well.
The only thing about it is that, like, they do take a bit of a cut, like, you know. And
that's still a lot lesser cut than iTunes.
Yeah, it's still a big cut, though. Do you know what I mean?
Was it 15%?
I can't remember exactly what it was.
It's 85-15.
But they take a nice cut for doing nothing, really, on E. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I imagine
It could be smaller. Do you know?
I will say that in terms of Bandcamp being smaller than all of this, like, the amount of server space that they have to expend in everyone uploading their 90-minute drone album.
I suppose.
And all of that. And the other thing is, like, they're giving back to the community in a big way in America, where they're starting to... They're doing on-demand pressings of albums like a certain level of pre-orders, and they can justify the expense of cutting and shipping vinyl, supplying a subscription, or allowing bands to start their own subscription services where you get everything for like a flat fee per annum or per month or whatever.
And is that only in America at the moment?
I think the subscription service is only in America, but as far as I know, they have plans also to start opening indie shops where, you know, bands that send them stuff directly, that they can press up however many thousand and just kind of distribute them internally. It's like an indie Golden Discs or an indie.
That would be class.
HMV. It'd be class if we get it over here.
That would be class.
With that being said, support your existing independent record shops, your Plugged Records and your Bunker
absolutely.
Vinyls.
You know, some of the best record shops around. Like, you know, especially I love Bunker Vinyl. Like, I just spend hours in there. Like,
John is such a nice guy.
Ah, he's sound, man. Sound. And he's a big music fan as well. He has a huge collection. Like, you can always go into John and find something.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I mean? And he'll talk to you about
secondhand it. Secondhand, and, you know. Yeah. So I love it, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
We, very quickly, before we kind of head back to some more tunes, we got kind of two big conversational beats to be hitting. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about the Monolith Festival and Balor, the Ulta Balor, which are the two kind of big annual showcases that the Paranoid Beast kind of has to offer. Yep. Monolith was, as we mentioned at the top of the show, a huge success, big numbers out, and really just kind of a big moment for the development of the genre in the city in the present day. Maybe talk to us a little bit, I suppose, about the importance of those big festivals in terms of, like, something to rally the troops around.
Yeah.
Aside from the day-to-day operations.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, and that's probably what they're for. I mean, Monolith is the summer festival, and it's the Ritual of the Evil Eye is the winter festival. So, you know, we've kind of got both sides. I'm doing the Ritual of the Evil Eye in November. That's been November 2nd in the Spalpeen this year. And it's actually going to be 2 days after Halloween, so we might even have an old Halloween batch.
Yo.
You know, so yeah, it'll be just something a bit darker and a bit different. And more local Irish. I mean, my original idea with the Ritual was to have it all Irish. And but this year we have a couple of guests coming over from, we have a Welsh band called Woven Man, and Ohms are coming over as well.
Class. So. Ohms were fantastic the last time over at the Urban Jungle.
Yeah, I didn't see them there, no. I only came across them recently. And
so good.
Anything I've seen of them, they look fantastic. And everybody has been saying that they're a brilliant live band. Yeah, so yeah, I'm delighted that it just so happened that they were in Ireland at the time, like, you know. Whereas Woven Man were like, that's featuring Leroy Davies. Leroy Davies is from a band from the early 90s called Acrimony.
Timmy Light Shroom Room.
Yes, yes. When, you know, just an it's an absolute classic stoner rock album. And yeah. So I've been in touch with him for years, like online and stuff, you know, and because I used to be posting up Acrimony tunes and the pages and stuff like that. And when I heard his new band, Woven Man, I was thinking, oh, that's excellent stuff. It's got that Acrimony thing mixed with Corrosion of Conformity or something. There's a bit of Southern tinge to it as well. So I asked him, would they be interested in coming over? And they were delighted. So excellent. We're going to finally meet him anyway, after all these years.
And it's great that you're bringing bands of that importance to the development of a subgenre over.
Yeah.
I remember seeing, I first saw or heard of Acrimony in 04 when they reissued Tumuli Shumarum. So I saw the back of Metal Hammer as a kid going, wow, this is, first of all, a band called Acrimony, class.
I'm delighted you know Acrimony, because you know, there's still a lot of people out there having a clue who this band are. Like,
it's mad what sticks with you from when you're reading the metal mags as a kid. You know, friends of mine would have gone for the cover features. I was always going for, like, the Capsule Record reviews and picking up things, because that was always what I loved.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the future of the Paranoid Beast and what lies ahead. But first, we're going to go back to some more tunes. A pair of recordings also taken from the Paranoid Pit monthly gig at Fred Zeppelin's. And coming up first, we have the Magna Pina with Cowboy Disco.
I love the Magna Pina. I think the Magna Pina should be huge. I think they're
in
just,
that Faith No More.
Yeah, well, you know, when they're an entertaining indie rock band, really. Like, you know what I mean? They throw in kind of stoner riffs, and it could be anything in there. They just mix it all up. But the main thing about their live shows is they're fun.
Yeah,
and they play with the audience, and you know, and they get the audience chanting. And like, we've put on a good few Magna Pina gigs now, and to be honest with you, I just cannot understand why people aren't flocking to see this band. They're one of the best bands in Cork, there's no doubt about it. Now they're starting, they're getting a little thing going in the Crane Lane now, so I'm hoping that will lift them into the next level, like, you know.
Especially if they can get in front of, like, the more casual music audience that the Crane Lane offers.
Yeah, exactly, because they did play in there recently and they really got the crowd going. There was a small crowd in there because it was, I think it was a Wednesday night or something like that, or maybe Thursday or something, but they really got the crowd that were there going, and it was great to see, you know, that other people that have never seen them before just go for it, like, you know. Brilliant band. So this one is Cowboy Disco from that live recording that we have from Live at the Paranoid Pit.
We also have God Alone with Feeling on Tick, which is also to my knowledge unreleased as of yet,
I think. Yeah, that was actually from the very first Live at the Paranoid Pit. God Alone played in, was it January, I think.
Yeah.
And they were, oh my God, they blew the whole place apart. Like,
even last Friday at the Roundy.
Oh my God. That even hit another level again, which I didn't think was possible with that band.
The narrative surrounding that band, anytime I've been talking about them in the media, has been, imagine how good these guys are going to be. If they're this good now, how are they going to be when they're in their 20s? And
I just love their experimentation.
They're fearless.
I mean? Yeah.
Fearless.
Yeah.
And you're talking about Spotify and the impact of, you know, kids not knowing what an album is to listen to front to back. But without that openness of a library, would the lads have been able to get to as much access,
I get you,
legally
yeah,
or semi-legally, to as much stuff that influenced them and opened up that songwriting process to them?
You're probably bang on there,
Certainly, we wouldn't have when we were 19 years of age.
No. We probably would have went off on certain genres and trying to discover them, whereas they can get it all immediately, like, through their phone.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So, and you can really tell, but it's not only that, it's their talent as well. I mean, their whole show, the physical side to their show, do you know what I mean? And the visual side for the audience, like, they're fantastic. Let's face it. Like,
and they're nice dudes as well.
They're great
and ultimately,
dudes,
that's it.
Yeah, great young fellas, yeah.
And such good friends. And that's ultimately kind of what makes a band magic. Is
and they're
when
so
they feel
tight, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
But that's just like the relentless drive of youth to get that done.
What I love, like, I've been to a good few God Alone gigs now, and I love seeing people that haven't seen them and just seen the jaws drop.
Yeah.
Just going, what in God's name is this like? Do you know?
Or even when they pull something out of the hat like last Friday and you know you've seen them a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I was a gig.
Where they were action, they were putting electronic beats and everything in behind it. It was fantastic. It was absolutely brilliant. I think they moved to an even higher level. And I hope good things happen to this band because they deserve it. Like,
they're one of those bands that I think are capable of kind of transcending the idea that a lot of people have about
Absolutely.
Metal and redefining the conversation Absolutely. About the genre. But we'll hear from God Alone momentarily. First, this is the Magna Pina with Cowboy Disco here on Red On Red.
I gotta keep my fucking shirt on. Let the worship start now. It's for you, Puddle. Let the worship start now.
This is a song for Puddle and Sound, who's always a fucking gentleman. Love you, Puddle. You're the legend.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is for you.
You're the magic.
Oh!
Thank you. Thanks very much. That was a good laugh.
This song's called Feeling Antique.
Yeah!
God Alone with Feeling on Tick, recorded live at the Paranoid Pit, happening monthly at Fred Zeppelin's. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast. And before we wrap up for the week, Mark Morrissey of the Paranoid Beast, the Paranoid Pit, Monolith Festival, Ritual of the Evil Eye. You know, we've spoken a lot about kind of what people would like to see from Cork metal in the future. Yeah. Maybe talk to us a little bit about the future for Paranoid Beast in general, and I suppose just kind of how you see things working out for metal in Cork as things progress for the city.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've some upcoming gigs there now over the next few months. We the rest of the year is really booked out, really. Like, one of my main ones is the next, my next main one that I'd say is coming up is Saturday, October 19th in the Spalpeen Fannock, and that's the Mighty Slomatics. So we're going to get, yes. Slomatics haven't played in Cork since 2013.
They actually haven't played.
That was in Bradley's, yeah. I wasn't at that gig, but I heard it was fantastic. Slomatics, I'd be a big fan of Slomatics, and I've been trying to get them down for the last year, really, to be honest. And eventually, a spot popped up, and they got in touch with me. So, yeah, we were able to put it on for them anyway. And it's actually their only Southern Irish gig of the year as well. So they have a new album out, Canyons, on Black Ball Records. And so anyone who wants to see a top band in Cork over the next few months should come along to Slomatics. I mean, Slomatics have played at Desert Fest, they've played at Roadburn, they've played at Psycho Las Vegas. Do you know, they're a huge band worldwide in this scene.
Yeah.
Maybe not a lot of Irish people know that, but they're actually from Belfast.
Yeah.
And
well, there's always been an awareness of it there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like they play a lot. They don't play a lot in Ireland, put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, they play a lot in Europe and around the world, but they don't tend to play a lot of gigs in Ireland.
It's like therapy, keeping the powder dry.
Yeah, so it's great. It's great that they got in touch with us and wanted to come down and play in Cork, you know, so they can see as well that there's a bit of a scene kicking off down here, and we're delighted. I mean, support. And tonight we have Wild Rocket from Dublin, who are just an absolute fantastic band, like,
and a headliner in and of themselves.
Absolutely, headliner of themselves, like, and you know, pure spacey rock stuff. So that's the kind of idea we're going to go for tonight. We, you know, we'll make it a nice visual side to it as well, and and then of course we have our own Carosa and Grey Stag as well, and another fantastic band from Dublin that I personally love, and they're really tight live as well. So that's a great lineup, and that's October 19th in the Spalpeen. October 25th, then I actually have a band called Sabata coming over from London. They are described themselves as grunge soul, quite psychedelic-y sounding, a bit different to what I normally put on. But the reason I'm kind of going with them for that weekend is it's a jazz festival.
Yeah.
And we have a Friday night in Fred's. So I said, you know what, let's try and get something a bit different. And so, yeah, they're coming over, and that'll be an interesting one. That's going to be a kind of grungy night because I have two Cork grunge bands playing the same night, which is Subbed Out, and they're a young band, Subbed Out.
Interesting to see younger lads take up the grunge mantle, considering how in the mainstream it kind of resides in the dad rock pantheon now, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, and grunge is great. Like, I love grunge.
You know, I grew up on it about 10 years late, but I was more into grunge than I was into nu metal as a kid.
Oh, nu metal, that was one genre I never went into. So,
well, I was young enough to be the target of it.
Yeah,
so
you would have been right in the middle of it. Like, Slacker Symphony are the other band. It's James out of the Magna Pinna.
Yeah.
This is his other project. They just sent me on a release there recently, and I thought it was excellent. So I think the three of those bands are going to be an interesting one for the jazz festival, you know.
So that's the jazz at Fred Zeppelin's.
That's at Fred Zeppelin's. And then November 2nd, so we have a busy month. So with these three bands, is the big one is the Ritual of the Evil Eye in the Spalpeen as well. As I said, we'll probably make it an old Halloween event. And you know, we have 10 Ton Slugger headline in it, which I'm delighted about, because I actually tried to get them last year to headline the first one, And I just love that band, and I think this is the time to come out and see 10 Ton Slug, because they're heading for bigger things. Like, you know, they're rocking every festival they go to, and I mean rocking it. Like, you're talking like 40,000 people and they're blowing them away, you know. This is the kind of band they are. Fantastic live act. We have Ohms, as we previously spoke about, and Woven Man that we previously spoke about. The Crawling.
Out of Belfast.
Yeah, fantastic band as well. We have Brigantia, Spirit Merchant, and who am I missing? Am I missing someone? Astralnaut.
Ooh, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yes, and like Astralnaut again, another band that I was trying to get for ages, and I'm sure they just stopped doing stuff for a while. You know,
I haven't heard them in years. Last I saw of them was playing the Siege, and I want to say 2014-15.
Yeah. So I actually listening to their stuff, they're perfect now for me. You know what I mean? So so that's going to be a great lineup, and we have Cursed Monk are going to do a kind of Invocation of Balor to start off the festival, so that'll be interesting.
I can't wait for the venue to be hit with a gigantic laser from the sky.
yeah, so it's going to be interesting. And hopefully people will come out and support it like they did last year, you know. And I think anyone that was at it last year realised, you know, this quality. It's a quality event with quality music, and you know, mostly Irish. It was supposed to be all Irish, but going forward we'll probably have a few guests every year, you know.
Where can people find the Paranoid Beast online or on social media?
Yeah, we have two pages. We have Paranoid Beast Promotions page. That's basically just for anything to do with what the promotions are coming up. Then we have the community page.
And they're both Facebook groups?
They're both Facebook groups. We haven't got a website up yet.
Okay.
Probably will have in the near future. If we need one, really, to be honest. I suppose we probably would to sell stuff and stuff like that, but yeah, the Paranoid Beast is the other one, Disciples of Irish Metal, and that's basically just a community page, and that's, you know, you could be posting up stuff from worldwide, but mostly anything that's to do with the Irish scene, you know, and so just join up, get in touch there, and you'll get every event that's coming up. They're all going through those pages, you know.
And you've Twitter and Instagram and the whole job?
We have Instagram. I actually haven't really got up to speed with that one yet, but I'll start doing that a bit more.
Going where your people are, man.
Huh?
Going where your people are and getting
fierce
feedback.
Yeah, Instagram, stories. Definitely. Twitter, I don't. I don't actually have anything to do with it. I don't even have a Twitter account, I don't think.
Ask the Pratalon lads about it.
It's not something that I've ever used, you know. Like, Facebook was always the kind of one that I was used to.
But you're seeing that level off now, because it's been
about
10 years.
That is levelling off, yeah. That is levelling off. I think Instagram is kind of picking up a bit, like, isn't it? Because it's short, quick, fucking bursts of it.
You see, it's learning how to alter your storytelling, man. Yeah. Going where your people are.
Absolutely, yeah. So we got to figure out even more of that and grow it as we're going. Like, and we're hoping, you know, people will help us, you know, sharing posts and all that kind of stuff as well. But
well, it's the modern day equivalent of flyering, really.
If you post the A3 thing,
it's perfect for phone screen.
Absolutely.
Phone screen aspect ratio. So, like,
I was doing that at the start when I was doing the gigs. I was getting up posters done up and sticking them around town, and I wasn't really seeing any benefit from it, you know what I mean? So
more heartbreaking than anything else.
Yeah. So I think I might start doing a mix of the two now, because I went away from the posters and I went just into Facebook advertising and stuff. And I'm going to try and do a mix of the two now just to see how that's going to pan out.
My big trick for directly engaging people for Facebook, and it got annoying very quickly, so I kind of stopped after a couple of months, was just posting the A3 JPEG as a picture in Facebook and then tagging everybody involved.
Yeah.
So it showed up in their news feeds and people who knew them's news feeds and blah, blah, blah. And it was effective for a while. It was like one of those things where you just go to the well one too many times. Before we wrap it up, do you have any more shout-outs, plugs, curses, etc.?
Not really. Just shout out to Khan and Tomas and Pavel and all that for the helping us with the Paranoid Pit. And Paul, of course, who's doing the filming that we're going to see shortly. And just all the team, basically, that work with us. The girls that help on the door, Diane and Anya, and, you know. And so thanks. And going forward, like, we've loads coming up, and just come out and support your local acts.
On that note, that's all for this week's episode of Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast from Red FM and redextra.ie. Thanks very much to Mark Morrissey from Paranoid Beast for joining us this episode.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Much appreciated.
And your time is much appreciated for coming on the podcast as well. And thank you very much for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please take the time to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as other podcasting platforms. Each subscription, each rate, each share on social media helps us grow and helps us spread the gospel of weird music in Cork City a little bit further. And make sure to check out the artists featured online or at an upcoming gig. And if you'd like more Irish tunes, please be sure to listen in to Green on Red on Sunday nights with Alan O'Donovan for the best of all that is Irish on Cork's Red FM, 104 to 106. Moss, you're leaving us with another slice of Carosa finish off the show. This was brand new and recorded at the Paranoid Pit in Fred Zeppelin's earlier this year. It's also taken from the new album Chalice Burner, available on Paranoid Beast Records at the end of this month. This is The Plutonian Drug.
Yeah, and don't forget the album launch. They'll be playing Chalice Burner in its entirety on the night. So it's going to be a very special event for all of us. So hopefully you'll come out and support that.
August 31st at Fred Zeppelin's in support of Elder Druid, with The Last Vinci also attending. Tickets available on the door. What's the door tax?
€7.
Class. Get in and get and support Irish metal. But before any of that, take a listen to what you can expect on August the 31st in Fred Zeppelin's. This is Carosa with The Plutonian Drug. And this has been Red on Red. And we'll talk to you next week.
Once again, fucking give it up for Tomas. First fucking move on earth. Woo!
Also, cheers to Richie for having us on his podcast last week. The Metal Cell, get on it. Thanks very much, Seth.
Red on Red.